hello and welcome to this episode of 10 out of 10 would recommend. This episode, me and Gina are both very, very excited because we get to make all of our private conversations about Master of None season 3 out in public. So yeah, this episode is all about Master of None and the third season, and we're talking to Naomi Aki about her role and all things surrounding the season.
Yes, definitely. I'm so excited to speak to Naomi. I'm so passionate about how great this season was. But before we get into that, T, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I had a bit of a fight this week. So I have been out and about shouting and making a lot of noise, and I lost my moneymaker, and unfortunately for me, my moneymaker is not my arse, it is my voice. And I've been banging out like teas, lemon, ginger, all of that to bring my voice back. So I'm happy that it is back and I can continue to make that shmoney.
I'm happy for you too. I will say, I remember a couple of episodes ago, you said that you were going to stop shouting and being mysterious and things. How did that go, I wonder? Just out of interest.
The thing is, right, in the world, no, I don't know why you're laughing. In the world of friendships, I think it's important where we are in a world where you're consistently getting called out.
Yeah.
So I feel like your friendship should be a safe place where you don't get called out and you don't get drawn out and people don't bring up your past mistakes or your past declarations.
Okay.
So what's happening with that is that I'm starting again from today.
Okay. Right.
I am I'm back in mysterious mode, back in like, you know, demure, like take gaps when I'm talking so it looks like I'm thinking about what's coming next.
Love that. I will support you.
Thank you. Wholeheartedly. Thank you very much. We go again next week. I might have failed this week, but we'll go again next week. How are you?
I'm okay. The sun is shining, which is making me feel nice. But the weather is better. Pretty much it. My bank account is really suffering because of that, because I don't know what happens when it's, I'm like a plant. As soon as it starts getting sunny, I'm like, life is good again, you know?
I can spend all my money.
Yeah, I've been really excited about today's topic because I'm extremely passionate about this show. And I'm so...
You really are. You know me very well, so you know the kind of shows I would like. You'd be like, Slani, you are going to love this. And I kind of watched... So I'd watched season 1 and 2, like, when it first came out, but I watched it again. Mm. Just because I went to, like, you know, like, get into it. We're talking about Master of None. I went to get into it once again and, you know, realign myself with that world. What I do love the most about all of the seasons, actually, I feel like it looks like it's made like a director's dream. Like, you can tell what that person was thinking. They thought, I want to make a show that looks like this. So there's really, like, interesting cuts and cutaways. Yeah. And, like, there is a scene in Master of None season 3 where... the character is crying, but we can't see her crying, we just see her front door. So it plays with what we see and what we don't see and what we hear and what we don't hear, which I thought was a really interesting way to actually make a show. And also it does this whole interesting thing of, like, not all the episodes are the same amount of time. Nobody does that anymore. It feels like it's like, I don't care about the rules of television. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the rules of making things. I'm going to do what it is that I want to do. And I think it makes it really, really nice to watch and it feels more real.
I totally, come through analysis. I totally, totally agree.
What?
Very, really agree. I felt honestly honoured to watch this bit of television. I know it sounds like I'm exaggerating with the way that I describe it, but I'm so passionate about how good this was. Really, really excited for you to watch it, obviously, T, because... A, I knew that you would like it, but also I knew that you would appreciate it because it's just beautiful to watch. Like, aside from the storyline, it is a beautiful bit of television.
It's stunning.
It's stunning. Yeah. And so, I mean, look, for anyone who hasn't watched season 3 yet, how do we describe this without spoiling it too much? I feel like it doesn't spoil it to say what it's about because people are going to see it anyway.
Yeah, no. So basically, it's focused on Denise's character. So it's Denise, played by Lena Waithe, and we see Denise in the new world where she's got her partner. She, like, in the, like, it, we introduced to her in a stage where she's got a successful book. Mm-hmm. And if you know past seasons, you know that she wasn't really doing a lot. But now, you know, she's at a point where she's successful. She's got her partner. It's seemingly like she's got it all worked out. A beautiful home, a woman who she loves with all of her heart. And it's kind of like the first episode is like we introduced to them and they're in the next stage of their lives. They're at a point where we love each other, we're married, we want to have a baby. And then we follow them through that journey of adulthood and through their relationships. And what's beautiful is every character gets their own episode, which is quite nice as well because you get to know them in depth. And I like when episodes focus on one person because you get to like that character more and know why they make certain decisions. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we are just following this beautiful couple's relationship, basically, I would say.
Totally agree. Is it a spoiler to say the crux of the season?
No, absolutely not. Like, it is a lesbian couple trying to have a baby. So it involves going through IVF, it involves the complications that you have to go through when you are not straight and all the things are against you when you're trying to have a child in those relationships.
Yeah. And I, not to talk too much about my own personal life, but, you know, the going through, and, you know, like, I'm 28, like, at this age, I can't go to the doctor without somebody talking about childbearing age. And so it was very interesting to watch a black woman on screen trying to have a baby when we're told that we have geriatric wombs or whatever at like 25, and the complications that are involved with that, and her trying to go with it. It was just beautiful. It was just so beautiful, which is why I'm so bloody passionate about it. I'm so excited that we get to speak to Naomi today. I was a massive fan of her in End of the Effing World. I'm too emotionally tied to this storyline, I think. It hasn't even happened to me, but I'm so emotionally tied to it.
It's one of those shows that you watch, you're like, okay, so what happens now? What are they doing? What's Alicia doing? What's Denise doing? Are they happy? What is going on? Like, you want to know more about it because it feels very, very real. It feels like you want to go and find them on Instagram, and you have to remind themselves, wait, they're characters.
Exactly.
They don't exist. Exactly. Yeah.
So good. So let's have a little listen to the trailer for Master of None, and then let's have a little chat to Naomi.
Let's say
we're
at a party. Maxwell's playing.
Love him.
You don't know me. I don't know you. And I ask you out on a date. Would you say yes?
Yeah. I said yes, then I say yes now.
Tell the truth. Mm-hmm. How long have I been talking about how fantastic Naomi's performance was in this thing? No, please, because I beg you.
No, genuinely. So we kind of get access to shows before it comes out to the general public. So Gina was like, she was like, honestly. And for some reason, I didn't know you were going to be British in it. I don't know why. No. I don't know why. Yeah. Do you know you didn't mention that?
Yeah.
Well, I was leaving you to watch it.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe you wanted to watch, I don't know.
How was that getting to have your accent and being you? Because so many things were said when you were like, I'm not being funny, right? And I was like, oh my God.
When I first auditioned for it, actually, like, we did it in American and British. And like, I don't have a problem, obviously, because that's my job. Like, I don't have a problem doing accents. Or when Aziz told me that they wanted to just be really raw and stuff, when I got the part, they were like, no, we want to do it in your own accent. And then because of that, like, I kind of got to get my hands on the script a little bit more and shift it to make it sound more London. And it for me, it was nice, man. It was really good.
So does that mean that the mum in it, because one of the things that struck me, also you being British, was that the mum, there were so many times I cried during this.
Oh, yeah, but, same.
Because it just really touched my heart. But that, and I know that this is one of the scenes for you as well, T, that scene where she's on the phone to her mum.
Yeah.
And her mum is Caribbean.
You can hear it, right?
Yeah. And I was like, so was that also something that came through the decision to keep you being British?
Okay. Yeah, basically. And the actress is Marianne Jean-Baptiste, who is an amazing actress. She lives out in the US, actually, but we would get her on the phone. And there's something about that home. Even though we filmed in London, there was something feeling quite distant, away from home, playing a character who was isolated and by herself. And hearing the accent, it just... And you, I guess it's like a British, black British ear. You can hear the West Indian in the English accent. I was just like, that just sounds like my sister, any woman that I know. So yeah, that stuff was great. Yeah.
Do you know what it is for me as well that stood out? Because the nursing is, so basically, your episode I thought was amazing. There was an episode, I think it was episode 4, where it was all about you and your journey and making a decision on your own, which again touched me. And it was like, as a black woman who's on her own, literally need to show you this. There was a line that you said, and I wrote it down in my notes. Like, I'm tired of waiting for someone to make something happen for myself. And I was like, tired of waiting for someone to make things happen.
And it's real, like, and it's like, I don't know, it's the lockdown did something to me. It's been really making me think. I moved out to like my own place, like it's the first time I'm living on my own, and it was lockdown, and I'm just like, you know what, like, I've got some decisions to make. There was something about playing this character, playing Alicia, who is like, wants this kind of like familial thing that has felt thus far so alien to me, that like has genuinely shifted how I think about what I want to do moving forward. What, like, do I want kids? Do I need a partner to have kids? The answer is no. Like, it's just mad.
That's what it was. It was a lot of those questions for me. So like, so the episode that is about you is about your journey, and it includes a nurse. And I love her so much. And me Gina, there was something about her that really makes me, reminds me of your mum. So,
Oh my God, me too.
I got teary-eyed remembering it, because so there was a cut and part of it where she's comforting you. And I remember Gina's mum comforting me after I lost my dad. And then it's literally, they sounded so alike. The kind of words were so familiar. And I'd literally burst into tears.
I can't talk about this. It's actually too much.
It's too much. You know what the crazy thing is? Cordelia is not an actress. She came in as a supporting artist on one of the days. And she had like a few lines, because the whole show is kind of ad-libbing and stuff like that. And Aziz fell in love with her. She's so magical on screen. He wrote scenes in for her. So that wasn't how it started. Cordelia used to work in palliative care. And so she has a history of looking after people. And I swear to God, Cordelia, as just a woman, is just one of the kindest, warmest women I've ever come across. I'm working, you can tell. And like on days, because those days, shooting episode 4 was a tough one, because it was like we kind of did it in a condensed amount of time, and it was like every single day just scene. I'm not being funny, like, I know it's only acting and stuff, but sometimes it really does get to you.
Like, it's not only acting, it's fine. It's not only acting, it's a good deal. Yeah.
But it's just like, it gets to your core. And like, sometimes I wouldn't be in the mood, or I'd be like super tired or irritated. And then Cordelia will come in and she just open, like, it was just like, you know, some people have that, they just vibe on that frequency that just makes you open up. And suddenly, like, some of those scenes that are the scenes I'm proudest of is because she was there, and she was just so genuine that I was like, I have no choice. I have to be genuine too. Like, she just, that woman is magical.
I actually have my heart is so attached to this. I just can't get over it. Anyway, one of the other things that I know you really well from, because I was cheering so much when you won the award for it, the BAFTA for it, I believe, was your performance in End of the Fucking World. Phenomenal also. I don't want to labor it too much, because I know we're talking about Master of None season 3, but phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
Not to just keep gassing you and gassing you. Incredible. You know, if people have seen that, that is a big shift. Your character as Alicia is a massive shift from that in End of... So I just want to know, like, for you, you mentioned it being like quite taxing playing this role and telling this story. How do you even get into that mind frame? How do you even get into that mindset to go and keep going with doing such an amazing job with the way that you depicted this story?
The thing was, this job, it was weird. Each job is different. And like, you kind of have to like feel your way into it to figure out what the tone is and how you're going to access it. But this one was like easy in some sense, because I didn't feel like I was acting. I was just kind of, it was Naomi with a different name in a different situation.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas like End of the Effing World felt like a character. It was. But yeah, like this one actually felt like it was the rawest I've ever been in front of the camera. And it was actually quite freeing. And it's something that on my next job, I want to kind of explore more of that, even though like it's a different job. Like, there's something quite nice about it. But I do like playing with the spectrum of it, because I think, you know, I just want to keep it vibrant. I want to keep each role I play new and different, and like just keep active. I don't want to ever get bored, basically.
Definitely. So in this season, it includes infidelity, and Gina's got a big thing. She's just like, why do all love stories include infidelity? Like, why is it always so glamorized? Why is it always
It's a fair question.
And it's made to look beautiful and forgiving. Forgive infidelity in this a little bit. So my question is, for you as Naomi and for you as Alicia, what are your takes on monogamy?
When I was younger, I was very like, if a dude cheats on me, I'm done. Out the door. And then I was like, it's a situation. Worst things have happened, you know. And now I'm at the point where I really do see monogamy as like potentially like just like untruthful. Like I am seeing people practicing open relationships and polygamy. And I'm not necessarily saying I would do that, but like I do have an acknowledgement that like it's very hard to promise yourself to one person, and it's hard to be everything to one person. And it's actually impossible. And so for me, when I think about my life partner, is like accommodating for that and being like, okay, I can't be your everything. Even if that is sexually as well, then my thing is don't lie.
Okay.
This is what I'm getting at. Do you know what I mean? Like if we've already said on the outset, like, all right, cool, this is what it is, then that's fine. What I don't like is being blindsided.
Don't make the choice for me. Yeah.
There we go. I totally agree.
I even said it to my sister the other day. I was like, if a dude told me, nay, look, sexually, like, it's not there, I'd be like, okay, ouch, that hurts my feelings.
Okay. I thought I was busting it down, but cool.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Okay. What are we going to do about it? Like, do you need to go elsewhere? Or do we need to break up? Or is there something like... Communication, people.
This man is literally going to come over here to jerk off in a cup. You ain't got to put out a whole charcuterie plate.
I just want him to be comfortable. I want the vibe to be right, you know?
Okay, that's not like some agey shit you just made up. If it was just me, I would have ordered a pizza and call it a day.
No, I don't want his hands to be greasy.
See? That's why our baby gonna come out bougie as hell. What?
You said our baby.
Do you think it's easier said than done, sort of thing? Because even in that as well, there was a line that says that why are the people that are right for us being bullied?
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'm not saying this the truth, but it's not a lie. Like the people you're meant to be with are not excited. They just like, you know,
the IT guy with short sleeve shirt.
Short sleeve shirt. No, seriously. But that's the thing. And I do listen. I wait for many things in my life. I'm a patient woman, like, and I don't believe what is right for you is meant to be boring for you. What is right for you is meant to challenge you. What is right for you might not even last forever.
Mm-hmm. True.
But what is right for you? Nah, man, I ain't looking for no short.
I don't want that.
Why? I know what I want. I'm visualizing it. Mm-hmm. And it's either here already or it's going to come in good time, in God's time. That's it will look.
I've started this new thing when anyone like says anything about me being single, I'm like, you're mocking God, not me, because he should be talking about it. It's not
talk to him. Yeah. Talk to him.
That is absolutely on him, sort of thing. The show is very intimate. It's like you and Denise, like together all the time. Yeah. How was shooting that together? And did it at one point, I know it's acting, but did it feel like you were in a relationship?
You get into a rhythm when you're filming. There was obviously, because it's a small cast, you're with each other every single day.
Yeah.
Sharing. So there's an intimacy in sharing a part of you. Like there is a vulnerability you just have to have as an actor when you're on set, because it's kind of nerve-wracking. But like, I don't know what it was. I think we just caught a really good rhythm. And I think it was just well casting that, like, I think me and Lena, we give as good as we get. And so there was like a similar to and fro between the two of us that worked. And so we were just able to like put it on and then cut and just back to normal. And then action, do a little argument or a little loving scene and then cut back to normal, which is the way I love it, because I'm a shake it off kind of actor. I don't really like to
carry it with you. Yeah,
I'm an actor. I'm an actor.
Can you tell us a little bit? I'm kind of taking it all the way back. Do you just get a call one day? It's Lena. It's like, what's up?
What's up,
like, B? I saw you at the end of the fucking world. You're great. You want to back to me?
Could you imagine?
Like, to be, like, how does it come about? Like, you know, tell us more about you, how you got involved.
Yeah. Well, each job is different. Sometimes you do get a call or sometimes you have a meeting. This one was like a normal audition. Got it through my email. Went to an audition with like the casting director. Did it, left, carried on my business. And then they came back a bit later. And then it was like, oh, Aziz and Lena are in London, do you want to meet for the recall? And so then I went to this hotel in like Soho, and there's Lena Waithe. Just chilling.
Yeah.
It's mad. Like sometimes the things that are happening at the moment in my life, like I have to, like, I'm just like, it's mad.
You're watching yourself go through it.
Yeah. Like it's out of body experience. And I'm just kind of just like, I was just joking, literally just before this, joking with my friend. Cause I was just like, I feel like these people are walking around like they think they're normal. They're just like, hey, it's me. And it's like, no.
You are a whole ass celebrity.
Let's stop with the call me a nickname thing. I won't be doing that. I'll be calling you by your first and last.
Ma'am.
Okay. So it is a little, it's pinch me, but then you get used to it. And yeah, everyone is a human being. Everyone's a person and stuff like that. And once you get past that, is you can do your job, but it's still kind of very strange to me. I just like side eye these like famous people. I'm like,
Naomi, I'm not being funny, right? But we had the same reaction when we got like told that you're gonna come on.
I'm excited. I've been begging, please get Naomi. I'm begging you.
So don't do this whole famous people when you are part of them.
No, that's not it.
Don't come on this podcast and lie.
I can turn on Netflix now and your boat is there. Like big screen, full screen, your boat is there. Like here, Master of None. Have you watched this?
I think that just feels weird. Like, okay, the other day, I could go with the long story, but I found a picture of myself, some paparazzi person got a picture of me in COVID going down the street, right? And I had a mask on and my glasses on. So I don't know how the hell they knew who I was. I was freaked out, and I'm very uncomfortable with the F word. I'm very uncomfortable with
Really?
What makes you feel uncomfortable about that?
Because I don't know. I think I feel like I'm an actor. I don't want to be famous. I just want to act. I just want to act and then just, you know, doss around and do whatever.
Do you know what it is? I think people can't understand that actors or creators or whatever want to just do their job without being famous. Like, I think there's this idea that you love it. Like, you love it here. Like, you're gagging for it. And sometimes it's like, no, you just want to do your job and then do your normal stuff.
And then just chill. Like, I said to my sister the other day, I was like, babe, like, especially, like, the work I'm doing next, I was like, we might not be able to just, like, go, like, Charmin, should we go to Nando's? I like going to Nando's.
You should be able to go to Nando's. You just have to peri-peri.
Nando's or, like, wherever. I don't know. It's weird. I'm working through it. It's just taking me a second because this is a weird idea to me. But
the thing is, you deserve all of the things because, like, your acting skills are honestly, they're unmatched. Yeah. I believed in everything on this show. Like, I cried for you guys like it was a couple I knew.
Me too.
I cried for you as, like, the character, Alicia, as if it was someone I knew, as if it was me. Oh, and I think that's the thing. I think there is a big thing is watching it as a Black woman who has all these hopes and dreams of wanting certain things and being in a certain place in life and not knowing necessarily how to make it happen.
My love, seriously, I literally, like, I saw my dad yesterday, but I was like, how are you doing? I was just like, you know what? I know I'm going away for my next job, like, and I'm going to be away for maybe 6 months. And then I've got, you know, who knows what could happen after that.
Yeah.
And suddenly I was like, that's a lot of time alone. Like, it's a lot of time surrounded by people, but it's a lot of time alone, not with your people or potential people that, and it's just, it's interesting because it's like, even playing Alicia, for me, I was just like, oh, like, loneliness is something to really think about.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not the end of the world. And I feel like it's maybe a taboo thing to be like, oh, I feel lonely, or like, I'm scared of the potential of being lonely. But, like, especially as Black women, man, how many conversations do I have with my sister literally every week? Like, when you look at the statistics and you look at how difficult it is to date, I went on to Raya, I tried to go on to
Raya. I tried that shit. Bullshit. You know what? It's bullshit.
How did I? And I did quite a big age, you know, thing. Yeah. How did I scroll through, only get picked once by one of these men, and then go all the way through and go back through and seeing the same people come around again? I was like, that's embarrassing. I paid for this. I paid money.
I've deleted it now because I paid money for it. Yeah.
I deleted it. I'm vexed. How dare you?
No, literally, how dare you? I did the exact exact same thing, and I went through it, and one conversation started, and I was just like, yeah, no, this ain't it.
I just can't. So it's just hard, because then you're like, also as a Black woman, you're filled with this fear, like statistically speaking, politically speaking,
yeah,
out of the people who are most likely to be alone,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
God,
it's you, apparently. That's not the truth, not always, and all of that. And there's so many intersections and complications. But, like, it's a real thing. It's a real thing, you know?
It is a real thing. It's definitely a real thing. I don't think that we are the only Black women that will be watching this or have watched this that haven't thought about what Alicia's story is and thought about going down that way. And I think what was prominent for me was, like, it doesn't shy away from how hard it is. I think a lot of Black women, you know, we do a lot of things on our own. I am so guilty of that. I do everything on my own. Every single thing on my own. Like, when I moved into my house, I did everything on my own. Like, everything, right? Shoulder the burden, like, it's fine. Like, we're tough. And, like, what really got me in this, which is what made me cry so much, and I never cry.
I'm not a crier.
It just shows, it's hard. Like, when Alicia's just, even simple lines where Alicia's just like, I'm so tired. Like, and I just felt it, like, in every core of my, like, every bone. And I don't want a trauma dump on you because, you know, this is what happens when you put in such an awesome job and, like, people feel it and it feels real. But, like, you just, it's just, honestly, genuinely not even kidding, not just saying this, it was my, one of my favourite performances that I've seen this year.
Same. Like, I feel like, I need everyone to start talking about it and start talking about it now as well.
Every minute of the day.
You guys do this thing, which is the dreams of, it's my romance dream to be in an apartment or a house or a home or a lovely, lovely, like, five bedroom, if a downstairs, it doesn't matter. Details don't matter. But at one point, slow dancing in the living room by a fireplace.
Yeah, buy a fireplace with the person that you love. I know, it's the simple things. It really is the simple things.
It's the simple things. We've only got confidence left. We have to get a Netflix recommendation from you before we go.
I'm a cartoons girl. So, Horseman, Big Mouth, Rick and Morty.
Okay.
They're like, I live off of that stuff. I love it.
Naomi said BoJack Horseman, you've got to watch it now, Tolly.
You've got to watch BoJack
Horseman. Okay, Gina's been trying to get me to watch it. I'll watch it now that you said it. I didn't believe you before, Gina, but now Naomi has cemented it. I'll absolutely be. Thank you so, so much. Honestly, we have loved having you on. Thank you for your performance. Thank you for this episode. I feel all warm and happy. And like, I wish it was in the real life and not on the internet, but it's fine.
It's fine. Next time.
Your insurance company does cover IVF, but it's complicated. We have to prove that you are infertile and that you have been trying to conceive with a partner for 6 months.
But what does that mean in regards to me and my sexuality?
Well, the insurance company doesn't have a policy for that.
But they don't have a policy for queer people.
They have a code for being attacked by an orca, and they have a code for being sucked into a jet engine, but not for gay and desires pregnancy.
Honestly, that was such a good chat to have, and I cannot recommend Master of None before. If you said at the end of the interview, you don't need to watch the other two seasons, but do watch it, they're good as well, but it doesn't relate to the story or anything like that. It's actually, it's really, really nice to watch.
It's incredible.
It's a weird, beautiful and challenging and realistic love story, which you don't get often.
Agreed. 100%.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Is what I'd say. So 10/10 would recommend for sure.
So what else, darling, are you into, watching, excited for? Let me know.
I am staying in the theme of Black women being amazing.
Okay.
And I'm going to recommend In Our Mother's Garden this week.
All our mamas, all our grandmothers, our aunts, all they were trying to do was survive.
Take no stuff kind of women, but they also knew how to hold a family together.
You don't know from hard. She knows all the hard.
The joke amongst the grandchildren is to try to get grandma to say, I love you.
So you know how most Black people who ain't from New Orleans, they got that praying grandmother and they got that cookie baking grandmama? Not me. One bet horses and one had 11 husbands.
It's like a documentary interview style show on Netflix, obviously, where black women are talking about their relationship with their mothers. And yes, it's all linked with like self-care and healing, and it's so beautiful to watch. And like, it includes illustrations during the interviews. And I've got a massive thing with female heavy families because I'm from a very, very female heavy household and family. And my aunts and my mums and my grandmas are literally the pillar of who we are. They're the very fabric of who I am. So it's actually really nice to listen to other black women talk about what their mothers and their grandmothers mean to them and how they find healing and how they look after themselves. And I love shows that talk to real people.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's, yeah, when they just interview real people and ask real people for their stories, because I think sometimes those are the best stories ever.
That is a fantastic recommendation. I really need to watch that.
Yeah, In Our Mother's Garden. And I watched the episodes with my mum, actually. My mum was round, and like, my mum had a cry, I had a cry. It was really sweet.
That's so nice.
And we tried watching it together. It was a really, really nice show to watch. It's lovely.
I really struggle to watch anything with a mother and daughter in it because it's too close to home. I'm it's too real for me.
And there are some like relationships that are not sweet and loving and whatever, and people are like, no, my mother wasn't this great person. And I like, it's just so realistic, and it talks about all of the little bits and bobs, because it's not always fun and matching outfits and smiles. Sometimes it's like, no, I can't stand this woman. So that is my recommendation this week, In Our Mother's Gardens.
Amazing. I'm going to put my Netflix hat on for just 2 seconds, talk about something that's already come out on Netflix and that is to come on Netflix. The first one is Sweet Tooth, which is a show, I'm going to be honest, T, based on how well I know you,
is it a bit me?
I don't know if it's a bit, it's out of your comfort zone. It's out of your comfort zone. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try it.
Where's Colorado?
What's in Colorado?
I heard there's a safe place for kids like me.
If you go out there alone, they'll have your head by morning.
I'm not alone. I got you.
Guys like me aren't good for kids like you.
How do you know? Most people hate kids like me.
Rusty.
The Last Men have made it their mission to eliminate hybrids. But we've made it ours to protect them.
It's an adventure in a post-apocalyptic world with a boy who's half human and half deer, and his your face.
Like an animal deer.
Let me land.
Okay, sorry, go on.
How else am I supposed to explain it? Is he not a half deer? Okay, did you ever watch Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe?
No, Gina.
For God's sake.
Go off. This is not about me. Other people might want to watch
Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Okay, do you know who Mr. Tumnus is? Please, Talani.
No.
Oh, God, have mercy. Okay, if you watch Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, he looks a bit like Mr. Tumnus.
My closest thing I can think about of someone that's half human, half animal is Pig Heart Boy, which is the boy that's got the heart from a pig.
Oh, the one that was that written by Mallory? Anyway, right.
Yeah, it was. Yes. Yeah.
Right, okay. Anyway.
So anything like that? No.
Okay. But basically, his species is getting hunted down. He's different. You know, the whole thing is
there's
really...
There's more of them.
Yeah, there's more.
Okay, there's more half deer, half humans. Okay, go off.
Essentially, he finds this protector who he like goes through the story with, and it's about their relationship, but also him being hunted down for his difference and all this other stuff. It's a cute story. Don't let Talani's terrible response to a show that I have to sell in order to keep my job put you off. Okay. Sweet Tooth, executive produced by Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr., you can't say no to him. Yes?
Yes.
Thank you. There we go. Give it a try. But if you don't like that, maybe this is a little bit more your speed. Did you watch Too Hot to Handle season one? If you say no, I swear to God, you'll be finished.
Of course I did. No, of course I did. Of course I did.
Too Hot to Handle season two. So Too Hot to Handle is returning 24th of June. It's great. It's exactly as you imagine it was. Even better, even more drama, even better relationships, all of the good stuff. And T, I feel like you would like that more. So I've given you one that's more up your own.
So shows this week you should watch Master of None, In Our Mother's Garden, Sweet Tooth, The Deer Story, and Too Hot to Handle. That is it from us this week on 1010 Would Recommend. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We hope you love Naomi as much as we did. Mm-hmm. I have been Talani.
And I have been Gina. I'm me, Smile Gina, that's G-E-N-A, on all social media platforms. And where can they find you, T?
You can find me at Tolly_T at all social platforms.
And you can find at Netflix UK on all platforms too.
I sure can.
So that's it. We love
you. And if you're listening to this, you know where to find it. So come back again next week.
Yeah, and also leave a rating and also give us your recommendations at hashtag 1010 would recommend. And also give us the recommendations where me, T, and Naomi can go for drinks. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.